Please turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 30, we'll be reading verses 10 through 15. Page 352 in your Schofield Reference Bible. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word, and we'll read the verses responsively. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God, that thou wilt neither kill me, nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And let's pray. Father, thou art so good to give us this time together. And the family is here. We pray that thou wouldst bless now this great assemblage of people. It's a tall order for the needs to be met in this so great a company. And yet we trust thee to do just that through the working of thy Spirit, through the preaching of thy word. God, meet with us and bless us with thy power and help in this hour, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, could I borrow your mind, please, for a moment? And would you, every one of you, listen carefully as I speak on the subject, to whom belongest thou? I trust that whatever has been capturing your mind or pulling your mind away from the service will be cast aside. And would you, for these next 30 minutes or so, would you let me control your thinking and direct you toward a beautiful and yet tragic in some ways little story in the Bible? It's a story of a young man who was poor and sick and forgotten. And I want to speak to you on the subject, to whom belongest thou? Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that in the next 30 minutes you shall so control this mind and this heart and this tongue and these lips that these thousands of people shall be fed and strengthened from thy word. Cause us to listen on purpose. Alert us to the words of the message. Amen. Would you follow me very, very carefully? David was in a battle with the Amalekites. Now that means nothing to you, the Amalekites, but except they were a heathen people. His men found a young lad, young man, who was sick and had not eaten nor drunk water even for 3 days and three nights. They fed him with bread and water and figs and raisins. And they brought him to David. And David asked the question, Son, to whom belongest thou? And the young man answered, I'm an Egyptian. I was a servant for one of the Amalekites, and I became ill. The word ill there is a little too strong a word. It really would mean in the original language, I became weak, too weak to get on a camel, too weak to fight a battle. And I was left, as the Amalekite army left, they left me behind because I was of no good to them. Hey, that's what the devil's crowd always does. When you get the place to where you are no good to them, they leave you behind. Ah, the lights are bright. And it's exciting. And the music is inspiring to the sensuality. And the people are gay and happy and friendly. That is until you have done nothing for them lately. And then they forsake you. Ladies and gentlemen, sooner or later, the devil's crowd in the end will forsake their weak. The devil has no rescue missions. Satan has no halfway houses. Satan has no compassion, and neither does the devil's crowd have any compassion. Now, these folks had forsaken. By the way, you go ahead and drink your liquor. Go ahead and smoke your pot. Go ahead. Frequent your taverns. Go to your country clubs. Spend your Saturdays at your nightclubs. Go ahead. Go to your red light districts and go to your movie houses and smoke your cigarette. Go ahead. But you're going to end up where everybody else ends up who listens to the dirty lies of that crowd. Here he is. For 3 days and three nights, he's not eaten. He's weak. He's sick. He was of no value to the heathen crowd, and they left him. But thank God there's a crowd of people who always are looking for folks to pick up. When the devil leaves somebody hungry, thank God there's a crowd of people called Christian people, saved with the blood of Christ, redeemed with the blood of Calvary, with their name written in heaven, singing, I'm bound for the promised land, with a black book in their hands, and the Holy Spirit in their bodies, and the love of Christ in their souls, and the warm heart, and a compassionate spirit, who are always looking for somebody who's been left by the devil's crowd because they were too weak to do any good to the devil's crowd. There's always somebody, thank God, who was willing to reach down and say, let me help you. And so they did. They helped him. And they brought him to David. And David said, to whom belongest thou? He said, I'm an Egyptian. I was a servant for one of the Amalekites. And I was too weak. And they left me. Now this morning, would you give me your attention very carefully as I bring just a brief and yet simple and yet profound thought from this passage. The Amalekites had a large army. What is one young, sick soldier? What is one young man who's too weak to mount a camel? What is one young man who's too sick to mount a horse? He's no good to us. Forget him. We have a great army. We too are a large army here at First Baptist Church. We too have a mighty spiritual army and a mighty spiritual force. Let me tell you something, folks. We cease to be that mighty spiritual force when we cease to try to lift the weakest one among us. Let there not, and please listen to me now, let there not be one senior citizen who once taught a Sunday school class at First Baptist Church. Now listen to me. Who once had a job. Who once was busy engaged in the activity of rearing a family. And who once fought in this army to lay the foundation and build the superstructure of what this mighty army is today. Let there not be one single senior citizen forgotten by this group. All of us can't visit all the senior citizens, but may there be such an organization here of people with compassion and mercy and forbearance and love and kindness and tenderness and empathy and sympathy that not one person who calls this church, his church home, shall be forgotten when he's weak. I'm thankful that you've been so kind to Brother Colston. If anybody in the world ever deserves it, it's John Colston. If ever a man brought cheer into the lives of the sad and lightness in the dark rooms and joy into the hearts of those that are lonely, anybody's ever been thoughtful of those about whom folks seldom think, it's John Colston. And I'm glad, but let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, there are others in the hospitals today who are not John Colstons. And they do not sit on the platform. They're just little soldiers. They're too weak to walk, too weak to ride, too weak to fight. But if this church ever gets so big and so mighty and so unconcerned that the least little soldier in this church who's weak and sick and forgotten, then this church ceases to be a great church. Just one boy. But he was a mother's boy. Just one lad. But he was a lad. We're a large army. Please listen. Let there never be one person in this church who goes into sin, who becomes weak and falls prey to the tempter. Listen to me. Let there never be a one. But what we do not spend ourselves praying him back to God and back to God's will. Oh, well, he went to sin. Did you hear? Oh, my soul, I'm shocked to death. Oh, my soul, my soul. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is a family. When little Melissa, a month old, please be still. Please be still. No moving, please. Look at me. When little Melissa, Linda and Johnny's little girl who was born just a few weeks ago, became ill and went to the hospital. I didn't say, well, there are a lot of people in the Howells family. Just one less won't hurt. Oh, no. The truth is, I've never told anybody this, but every time I left the church to drive home, I drove by the hospital, and I drove around and around that hospital. And I said, dear God, a little baby up there that I don't know very well, who calls my daughter her mother, is ill. And I pray you'd heal her. You see, when it's yours, ladies and gentlemen, it's different, isn't it? It's different. Let us always say, these are ours. You are mine. You belong to this church. To whom belongest thou? You belong to First Baptist Church of Hammond. To whom belongest thou? You belong to this family. To whom belongest thou? You belong to me. To whom belongest thou? You belong to this great group of family called First Baptist Church of Hammond. Oh, let us never let get so busy looking at a sea of faces. We forget that every face is important to God. That high schooler. So children, sit down. We don't just walk around here. I want you to hear what I got to say. That high schooler that goes into sin. Let us not become detectives investigating so we can, as somebody said, keep our church pure. In God's name, let's go to our prayer closet and let's say, oh my God, one of our own has become weak. And let's not go off and leave that one. Let's sucker that one back to strength in Jesus and give him strength and pray him and help him back to God. This is a large army. Let not one of these men appear in the rescue mission section this morning. Let not one of them go back into sin unless our hearts are broken. Let me tell you something, folks. It's mighty easy to pray for the Harold Sullivans when they have heart attacks and the John Colstons when they're in the hospital. But I want to say this morning, and I mean it with all of my soul. There's not a mission man up here in this room, this section this morning, who's not as precious to Jesus Christ and to God Almighty as Jack Hiles is. My motto of my ministry has been for these many years, I will not use my people to build my work, but I'll use my work to build my people. And that little lad who'd become too weak to mount a horse and too weak to mount a camel and too weak to fight the battle, is he not important? He's not to Amalekites, but he is to David.
He's not to the world, but he is to Jesus. He's not to the world, but he is to Brother Hiles. He's not important to the heathen world, but bless God, there is not a one unimportant to God. Let there not ever be one little bus kid that misses his ride on Sunday that is not the object of the search of that bus captain. Let there not be one little Sunday school child who's absent on Sunday, regardless of how poor, how unimportant he is, that is not the object of a search of his Sunday school teacher. Let there not be one single mission man who's not the object of the search of the mission officials when he drifts away. Let there not be one Hiles Anderson college student who's thinking about going back home or stumbles into sin that is not the object of the compassion and search of the Hiles Anderson college family. Let there not be one little child in their grade school who is a bad child, who's not the object of our attention, so we can do what we can to bring that child back to being the kind of child that'll please God and please his mommy and daddy and please his pastor and please his teacher. I'm simply saying, here's that poor young man. He's weak, but he's somebody's boy. I can recall many times in poverty we'd live in a little two-room shack out in the country somewhere and just as poor as we could be with hardly enough food to eat. And somebody'd knock on the door, and knock on the back door, and mother'd go to the back door, and they used to call them tramps. They call them hippies now, and used to call them tramps. And the tramp would say, do you have anything to eat? And my mother'd go to our cupboard, and we'd have one can of Franco-American macaroni and cheese, and that's all we're gonna have. And my mother'd put that can. First thing, she'd lock the door and say to the fella, stand out there in the back. And then she'd say, if you'll mow the yard, I'll feed you. I was always happy to hear that, because if he didn't, I did. And then my mother would put the plate. She'd say, step back now. She'd put the plate on the back porch, and then she'd lock the door, and she'd say, come and get it. And that boy would, young man would come up and eat that food. And my mother would say, son, do you know why I did that? And I said, why, Mama? She said this so much. She said, he's some mother's boy. He's some mother's boy. And she said, someday, son, you're going to need somebody to help you. And I want somebody to help you. He's some mother's boy. These poor people over here in the section of Educable Slow, they're some mother's children too. And these mission men up here, they're some mother's boy. Oh, let nobody be unimportant. I'm alarmed at many of us sometimes when somebody goes into sin, we get all of a sudden get self-righteous, holier-than-thou attitude and want to push them down and criticize them 10,000 times. No, let's do what we can to reclaim them with love and kindness and prayer for Jesus' sake. Let there not be one widow overlooked. Let there not be one homesick Hiles Anderson college student who's not important to the faculty. Let there not be one shut in. Let there not be one person among us who once fought in our army, whose body now rests in the silent city of the dead, who's forgotten. I say so often, I will not forget. I will not forget. This week, I've been out here to the cemetery on Holman. I've been down here to the cemetery on Calumet Street and 165th and 67th there. I've been out here to the cemetery out on 169th and Southeast, and I've been out to our cemetery this week. I've been to all four of those cemeteries and driven around and tried to remember where different folks were buried and tried to remember the people that once were part of our army. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the greatness of a church is not determined by its size. It's determined by its compassion and concern and sympathy and mercy and its willingness to reach out and lift up the one that's the fallen one. 20 years is a long time. Not a one of us in 20 years has escaped the times of weakness. In these 20 years, there have been times when I was happy and you were sad, and I tried to make you happy. Then there have been times when I was sad and you were happy, and you tried to make me happy. There have been times in these 20 years when I was strong, at that time you were weak, and I tried to strengthen you. There have been times in the 20 years that I was weak and you were strong and you had to strengthen me. There have been times when I was up on the top and you were down on the bottom and I tried to raise you. There have been times when you were on the top and I was at the bottom and you've tried to raise me. There have been times when I had faith and you had doubt and I tried to restore your faith. There have been times when you had faith and I had doubt and you had to help me restore my faith. There have been times when I was encouraged and you were discouraged and I've tried to encourage you. There have been times when you were encouraged and I was discouraged and you've tried to encourage me. There have been times when my children were good and yours were bad and I tried to help yours. There have been times when your children were good and mine were bad and you tried to help mine. There have been times these 20 years when I've been rested and you've been tired and I've tried to strengthen you. There have been times when you've been rested and I've been tired and you've tried to strengthen me. There have been times these 20 years when I've been peaceful and you've been disgruntled and I've tried to give you peace. There have been times when you were peaceful and I was disgruntled and you've tried to bring peace to me. Ladies and gentlemen, in 20 years' time, all of us... Listen, I was thinking last night, there have been times in these 20 years, Al, you and I have had a difference or two in these 20 years, but I expect we love each other more now than we ever have. John Olson here, we've been through some times together, and I expect there have been times, John, you and I have been a little disgruntled with each other, but we love each other more now than we ever have, and I could go on and on and on and on. I could say to these men on the platform the same thing. There have been times when these men on the platform and I did not agree on everything, but I wouldn't trade them for anybody in the whole world today. They're my team. They're my family. You're my team, and you're my family. And I want to say a few words to you this morning. Well, I love you when you're strong. I love you when you're weak. I told the college family this the other day. Please listen to it. A few weeks ago, Linda, up here a few blocks away in St. Margaret's Hospital, went. She labored and labored and labored and labored, and the baby would not come. She started labor on Sunday at noon. And Sunday night, baby had not come. And Monday morning when I left to go to California, baby had not come. I called from the airport and the baby still had not come. I called from California mid-afternoon and the baby still had not come. Linda was so sick and she'd labored so long and she was so tired. She said she just could not take it any longer, she thought. I called and talked to Dr. Rawlings, bless her heart. She got on the phone and talked to me personally from a little payphone way up in the mountains of Northern California. And I said, Doctor, what can you do? And Dr. Allen said, Reverend, we've got to take her, take the baby by cesarean section. She said, call back in an hour or two. I think she said an hour. And maybe two. And I'll tell you, all the time I was driving up in the mountains of California, praying, wondering, and praying. And then I called the hospital, and she was not in her room. She was not in the labor room, operating room. And I finally got the doctor who helped the surgery, and the doctor said she has a girl, and she's all right. But Linda wasn't all right. She was rather very ill for a few days. She did not get to hold the baby in her arms or nurse it from her breast for a while. And then after several days, Linda got well. Can you imagine how she felt when they laid that little baby in her arms for the first time? Can you imagine when that little baby began to tug for his mother's breast and find strength and succor from his own mother's breast? Linda placed her eyes on her baby close to her, I guess, for the first time. Let me ask you a question. Listen to me now. Let me ask you a question. How long did it take Linda to love that baby? Huh? How long? Did she have to get to know her real well? Did she have to wait to see how she liked her, what kind of personality she had? When that baby began to search by nature as God provided it for the breast of his own mother, and Linda cradled that baby in her arms and she gained strength from her mother, there was a God-given love that flowed from that mother to that child that only a mother can understand. And the first time you walked down this aisle and you said, I want to join this church by transfer. Just like that, I loved you. You say, how could it be? I don't understand it. No more than I understand how a mother can look at a body and face she's never seen before and all of a sudden the baby is baptized with love. I can't understand that. But you mark it down. When God calls a man from the group to be a preacher, when God stands that man behind the pulpit and gives him the sacred name of pastor, every time somebody walks in his church and becomes one of his and begins to snuggle at his spiritual breast and gain food and strength from the preaching of the Word of God that comes from the pulpit, there's an immediate love that God gives. You say, how can you love these Hiles Anderson students that just got here? I don't know how I can, but I love them like they're my own, and I don't even know their names. You say, how? He did it!
That's why sometimes I'll wait longer than you think I ought to wait before I use the axe. That's why sometimes when some person in this church goes and does sin, that's why some of you say, what are you putting up with that for? I'll tell you what I'm putting up with it. Putting up with it the same way I'd put up with it if one of the four children, if you in this world that call me daddy were to go into sin. You think I'd strike them aside? You think I'd kick them out of the family 10,000 times? No. I heard tonight that David Hiles had been down here in the Red Light District in Skid Row. I heard he'd stumbled into some tavern somewhere and somebody said, yeah, it's that Hiles kid. Look, he's supposed to be a preacher. You know what I'd do? I'd get in my car and I'd look till I found him. And I'd say, son, I'm sorry. I want to help you back. And that's the way I feel about every single person in this room. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, let's not be a museum where we come to examine our perfection every Sunday. But rather let us be a hospital, realizing that each of us is going to need the strength of the rest of us sometime. In 20 long years, there have been times when you got disgruntled. I know that. But you never got away from my love. A lot of you folks don't know this. But every time in this church, somebody gets mad at me and joins another church, I try to contact the pastor where they've joined and tell him, take good care of them. They're good people. And I love them. I love you when you're strong. I love you when you're weak. I love you when you're living right. I love you when you live in sin. I love you when you love me. I love you when you hate me. I love you when you live what I preach. I love you when you don't live what I preach. I love you when you brag on me. I love you when you criticize me. I love you, young people, when you're pure and clean. I also love you when the tempter has led you astray. I love you when you're clean cut. I love you when you have your long hippie hair. I want to say something that might surprise you. I'd never disown you. Never. If I walked down the street, and if I saw one of you ladies that member of First Baptist Church with a cigarette in your hand, smoking a cigarette, I'll still walk up and shake your hand and say, I'm glad to see you. I walk up and find one of you men with a can of beer in your hand or drinking a martini, and you know how I hate that kind of garbage. You're still mine. And if somebody asks you, to whom belongest thou? Point to me. You're mine. You can't get too far to be outside the love of God. You can't get so far in sin you get outside God's mercy and forgiving power. And you'll never get so far, but the Hiles won't claim you and say you belong to me. To whom belongest thou? This little lad, too weak to do any good to the Amalekites. They don't want him.
Leave him aside! He can't mount a horse. He can't ride a camel. He can't wield a sword. He can't throw a spear. He can't grasp a dagger. He can't hurl a stone. He's of no good to us.
That's the way the heathen world is. But that's not the way the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be. And so let us dedicate ourselves to finding that little bus kid on our route that's weak, and being sure we give him the attention he needs. And let's dedicate ourselves to finding that little Sunday school class member who's the weakest one and give him the attention that he needs. And let's find that Hiles Anderson student who's in our dormitory who's the most homesick and give him or her the attention that she needs or he needs. And let's find that teenager who's just gone astray, who's broken our hearts because he's gone into sin. Let's not kick him aside. We may not be able to give him an official position. We might have to expel him from school for a while. But as his pastor and as his mom and as his dad and as his Sunday school teacher and as a church, let's sing the song, Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands some beauty may remain. I'll close with this, and I hadn't planned to. I looked back here this morning, and I think I see Mrs. Tunis back there. Is that right, Mrs. Tunis? Are you still back there? Mrs. Tunis is leaving us. Her husband's retiring, and they feel that they've been led of God to go elsewhere to another state to live. And it hurts me, not angrily. It hurts me because I have memories. I remember those first 6 buses we had, Mrs. Tunis. I remember when what's the family gave us those buses? Oh, yeah, Steffi's and Vera gave us those buses. I remember we tried to get some bus workers. I recall when we didn't have a fleet of buses, we had 6 old buses. Mrs. Tunis was there. And for these 20 years, she stayed right there, never wavered, not one time. Now she's leaving. But she'll always be ours. She may have another fellow she calls pastor, but he's an imposter. I'm the genuine one. Yeah. Yeah. And so this morning, maybe it's because this is the first day when all of us are here. This morning, I call you on this early autumn-like morning. I call you not to ever let this church get big. Let it not get so big, but that when one little family, not known by many of us, loses a baby boy, all of us can't weep. Let us not get so big, but that when one rescue mission man goes back into sin, all of us can't care. Let us always stay little. Little enough to care for the one that's fallen. Little enough so that everybody's important. Little enough so we're concerned about everyone that stumbles. Small enough to care. I like that motto of that bank in Chicago. Big enough to serve you and small enough to know you. I like that. Our Heavenly Father.